On Mondays, we talk with Robert Craddock. There's much to discuss on a cricketing front, but it's football in Queensland that holds sway. Save this a little earlier on. Sean in Brisbane. It's great that the Queensland AFL teams are going well, especially with the Queensland NRL teams struggling. Hopefully AFL will get more coverage up here now. Well done, Lions, with exciting football, and well done, Suns, for having a go and being strong. Come on, Queensland, let's get behind our AFL teams and help make the game stronger. It's the perfect note, the perfect lead-in to Robert Craddock. Crash, good morning.
Yes, I'm coming to you from AFL Central up here in Brisbane, Jared.
5-1.
I've been able to say that for a while.
The years of misery, the years of starvation ration, all of a sudden, 5-1 between the two teams and a whisker away from 6-0.
Yeah, and Jared, that's only half the story in a funny sort of way, because the three rugby league teams in Queensland have won, the Broncos, the Titans and the Cowboys, have won 2 games out of 12.
Oh,
and one of them was against each other. So we're seeing, it's an extraordinary constellation of the planets. Like, we haven't seen it before, and it's just, and a lot of the sports journos up here, myself included, are sort of caught in the middle of it thinking, gee, it's interesting to hear what people are talking about. And, you know, on one hand, there's the anger of the league teams and the absolute stunning sort of success of the two AFL teams, which the Lions are $17 to win the premiership. That's their shortest quote for 10 years. And Lachie Neal's second favourite to win the Brownlow, if you don't mind.
did you think, and we spoke a couple of times on 360 down the years, did you wonder when this might come again, given the parlous state of Queensland footy through some of those years?
Yeah, I did, Jared. And look, we always said that the Lions, what made it deceptive was the Lions would really build up hope in the off-season. Chris Fagan, we all knew, was doing a really good job. And a former school teacher, just that sort of mentality, that nurturing mentality that they needed. But then you'd get to round one, round two, and there was a brick wall in front of them, and hope would dissipate quickly.
Yeah.
And I must say, when Dane Deems lost to Collingwood, what worried me in the off-season, because I just felt he was the guy holding the band together. But as it turns out, he could have a story, if the Lions keep going, and that's problematical, similar to Nathan Buckley, who, of course, left the Lions and went to Collingwood and chasing a premiership, which never eventuated.
And then there's the Suns, where, you know, there was enormous pessimism towards the Suns. So what they've done has been quite startling, really.
Yeah, I must say that their story pleases me as much as the Lions, because, you know, they got absolutely poleaxed last year. When they lost Tom Lynch and a group of others, you know, people were calling it the worst list ever assembled. And you could almost hear the collective sigh of draftees when they were summoned up. But they worked really hard on their fitness, and they were given a good draw. It quite conspicuously, the first 5 rounds of the competition or so have been pretty sympathetic to them getting a little bit of momentum. It'll get harder very quickly, but, you know, for a young team, just to post a few wins, to get memberships up, to get crowds up, you know, they're at a level now where most people thought they might be in June or July in terms of wins-wise. So it's really good.
What does it mean tangibly in sort of keeping them in the conversation, keeping them on the radar in Queensland through the early part of the season?
Well, it's you can sense their publicity for both teams is growing by the week up here, which is great. There was not a marked interest increase in the crowd for the Port Adelaide game for the Lions, but it will increase. I always feel in Brisbane, Jared, there's about 10,000 floaters, people that sort of float, sports fans that float towards who's ever hot, and they'll just go and see them. You can throw a net over them if you get moving and have a couple of good results in a row. And I just sense the Lions particularly will benefit from that shift. They can get up over 30,000, you know, to get about 20,000. They can get that over 30,000 if they keep winning. Don't worry about that. And that is that's a good crowd for up here.
Crash, before we leave the footy codes, the Storm, who they're unbeaten through 4 again, they are quite remarkable.
Well, do you know what, Jared? I've just been, you know, talking about it to my mates up here. They put other clubs, particularly in Queensland, to shame. You think of it, they're an outpost club, really, for the NRL, who are down there in AFL heartland. The Queensland teams, why can't they beat the Storm? Like, we have all sorts of excuses for the Gold Coast Titans and the Cowboys up here. They've got magnificent local feeder systems there, which should be running talent through, and the Storm just keep doing it. There was no more significant win this season for the Storm than yesterday against the Bulldogs. I watched that game, and I thought it reminded me of Alan Border batting against Sri Lanka on overcast skies, and just there were little medium paces were nibbling it around, and he just said, I've got to dig in here. Today's not the day for looking fancy. And they just, the great teams win when they have an off day. The Storm had an off day yesterday. They were really average for a lot of the game against the Bulldogs and still won.
Yeah.
That's the difference between them and the teams chasing them. They know how to win ugly. They just dig in until they find something. Honestly, every year, Jared, I pick them as the team to fade. And every year I get it wrong. Every year I get it wrong. They just hold their ground. It's extraordinary, really.
All right, on a cricket front, so much of the conversation of the last month gets tied together. Tomorrow's the meeting between Trevor Holmes, Justin Langer and Greg Chappell to pick the 15-man squad for the World Cup defence, and then we'll find out in the aftermath at some point during the week. How much is up in the air as they come to this meeting tomorrow?
Yeah, look, they've got to check. They've had fitness reports and all the bowlers, of course, with Hazelwood and Stark, both under clouds. Hazelwood, last time we saw him a week ago, he said, I think I can get there with this team. So that's good news if he can. And also, they're sorting through a batting lineup. Steve Smith's hit a nice little vein of form in the IPL, as has Warner. Although Smith scored a half century last night, which just seemed too slow. Chris Lynn and the Calcutta Knight Riders hauled in the total with nearly seven overs to spare.
Yeah.
So I just think he was behind the game in that one, Steve. But he's Steve Smith, and Smith and Warner must be in. I don't think there's any debate over that at all. And then, of course, it comes down to who misses out. With Steve Smith struggling to throw and Ashton Turner struggling to throw, there was always a feeling that, they didn't want too many crocs in the team. But so it could cost Turner his place. And then, of course, there's the debate between Hanscombe and Marsh. And for mine, Hanscombe should probably go as second keeper. I know Marsh has scored four centuries in the last year. They've all come in losing games. And there's just a feeling wherever Marsh goes, Smith can cover for him.
Yep.
Just in terms of that middle order man who can hustle and bustle. Jared, if you said slight concern, it's just, there'll be a lot of biff and barge in this World Cup. There'll be totals of 330, 340. Have we got that middle order crunch? That Tom Moody. Remember Tom Moody won for us in England 20 years ago by coming in and going biff, bang, whack?
Yeah.
Have we got that sort of man, given that Alex Carey is a nice little nerdling 30 off 30 balls sort of a guy? So that's a slight worry.
Have you picked your 15?
No, I'm just sitting down to do it now. But on the margins, I would certainly plump for Hanscombe ahead of Marsh, and I want to check on the fitness of the bowlers. But I've got Berendorf in the mix. I quite like him. You know, he swings the ball a bit. He's a good English side of bowler. I've definitely got the two spinners in Nathan Lyon and Adam Zampa. It'll be a World Cup for slow bowlers. Zampa's ahead of Lyon for me because wrist spinners in World Cups create their own little damage because guys who haven't seen him for 6 months suddenly come up against him in one-off games and they squint their eyes and think, mate, have you got a wrong? Have you got a flip? What do you bowl?
Yep.
It's good. Even if it could just get him guessing for a millisecond, a little bit of caution, that's great. That's why I like wristies ahead of spin bowlers, ahead of off spinners, yeah.
Are you taking Carey as your keeper?
Yeah, I am. And Hanscombe is a backup. Look, apparently the selectors, you know, one concept they had discussed was Hanscombe going as the front line keeper, and that enables them to put Sean Marsh in as well, or maybe Ashton Turner. I don't like that. I just think in a World Cup where slow bowlers are going to play a part, you want your best keeper over the stumps. One stumping can make a difference. It can win a game, and that's why I'm a specialist keeper man. That's why I like Carey. They don't feel they owe Carey anything, Jared. You think of the keepers like Darren Berry and Chris Hartley, who were terrific interstate keepers who got nothing, really,
yep.
from nation-wise. Like, Carey's been fairly well looked after, you know, given that he started as with Greater Western Sydney playing AFL. So they don't feel... That's why they dropped him for one game a while back, just to say, hey, mate, just not... You know, we know you're good. We know you're trying, but we're not just going to hand it to you. So, but I still think he's the man for this job.
Could they do anything wild? Could they pick one, or does 15? It feels like 15 is so contained that you really have to fill your quota of batsmen, your all rounders, your keeper, your two spinners, and make sure you've got at least one backup quick. It doesn't feel like there's scope within 15 to do anything outside the box.
No, I don't feel so. I feel Ashton Turner is about as wide as it goes,
yeah.
given that they've had those two series in India and Pakistan. And I must say, I know they beat Pakistan, you know, clean swept them, but Pakistan had rested seven players. So, and that's a lot for Pakistan. They could become pretty ordinary pretty quickly when they rest a lot of players. But Kerry O'Keefe picked his team the other night, and he left out Marcus Stoinis. And put in Turner because he said, I reckon there will be games in England where we need Turner's crunch, where he comes in and we need 42 of 20 and Turner comes in and goes, biff, bang, whack. Thanks your mum for the rabbits, you know. Whereas, and I got that argument and it made me think, gosh, is there any way we can put Ashton Turner in this team? Greg Chappell's loved him for about 7 or 8 years since he was playing in England, and he put him in an Ashes warm-up game and just think he's been watching him for all this time. So I've just got this feeling at tomorrow's meeting, at some point, Greg Chappell will speak up for Ashton Turner. And then, of course, Justin Langer knows him well because he's from Western Australia.
Yep.
And, of course, Stoinis isn't playing that well, but Stoinis just goes, they're committed to him. He's come the journey, Jared, hasn't he?
He has. It would be surprising if they flinched at this stage. All right, so that meeting's tomorrow, and we'll see which 15 Australia chooses for the title defence. It's Masters week. Have you ever been to Augusta?
No, it's one of my great desires. My best mate, who's a journalist, Jim Tucker, went. And he covers the golf, and his name got pulled out of a hat. As you know, Jared, at the end of it, they pull out about 20, all the journos put their names in a hat, and about 20 get to play the course.
Yep.
And my mate got to play him, and he changed in the champion's locker room. And, you know, and just, it was, oh, whose locker was it? It might have been Raymond Floyd's or someone, but it was just the unspeakable joy. They let the journos change in the champion's locker room, where during the tournament, only the champions can go, but... It's great, isn't it? You can feel it's special, isn't it? And with Tiger, I was just reading Michael Warner's story about Tiger Mania and how it's setting off. And there was a throwaway line from Woods about a week and a half ago saying, for the first time in 9 years, I'm going there pain-free. And that's a, you know, there's no back problems, there's no shoulder problems, there's just he will hit a ball without pain. And that's significant, isn't it? He hasn't won there for 14 years. Can you believe that? That news rushed by.
When you say it, you go, really? We're all getting old.
Yeah, well, it is. And there's terrific quotes from Paul Oakley today saying, look, there's two ponies in golf. One of them's Tiger Woods and the other's the rest. He said the publicity he generates is extraordinary. And I had a nice chat to Cameron Smith on Friday, the Queensland golfer who was one of four Australians in it. And I said, do you become a golf nuffy when you get to Augusta? He said, oh, mate, you do. He said, like, I love diving into the souvenir shop.
Yeah.
And I buy all these things with the green and yellow flags on it. And he said, you always buy far more than you need, but you just can't help yourself. And you're diving around getting little markers. And he said, but that's what the course does to you.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's dreamland, isn't it?
Do you think Tiger will win?
I've got a feeling that he'll threaten but won't.
Yeah.
I don't even know why, but I've just got this feeling he won't win another major. And it's funny. Nick Fowler once gave a talked about when he was in the zone and he was winning all these majors, and he said then he got divorced, and he said it was like when I was in the zone, it was a locked room, my concentration. And he said, as soon as a ray of light pierces the your focus, everything shatters and you can never be that good again.
Yep.
And it was funny, when I saw Tiger joking with Kevin Na the other day on the golf course, I just thought, everyone said he's a nicer, more likable man than he was. But has there been a ray of light through that dark, that prism of focus? Has it shattered? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Could it be ever the machine that he was? I'm not sure that he gets back there for mine. I hope he proves him wrong. I hope next Monday when we're on, it's all happening and we're all talking about Tiger.
So the two major sporting events around the world are the Masters and then the Winx Farewell come Saturday. They'll both be on the SEN stations. What will the build-up to this be like during the week, do you think, Crash?
Well, it's just very emotional, Jared, and hasn't the industry needed it? I mean, I was looking back at some of her wins over the weekend, and in a way, they all look the same, that swooping finish. But you just forget how adaptable she was, like with distances, with tracks going clockwise and anti-clockwise, with heavy going, with slow going, with good going. Like, she was, as much as everything else, even though a lot of her races look like carbon copies, man, oh, man, what an adaptable beast she's been. I mean, it's just it's just wonderful. And you know, I spoke to Larry Cassidy about when he rode her in the first race of her winning streak at Caloundra.
Yeah.
And said to him, you couldn't have known she was that good. And he said, well, but it was funny. He said, when I got off the horse, I spoke to Peter Tyre, the owner, and said, that was unbelievable. He said, I've never felt that before on the horse. He said, she could be anything. And then he, on his way back to Brisbane, when he was driving past the Glasshouse Mountains, he rang his wife and said, I've ridden Sunline. He said, but this mare, he said, I don't know, that was the weirdest thing I've felt. And so there it was, you know, the first race, all those winning streak races. So it's been a great journey, Jared. I know you've loved it, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, the whole scene.
Yep, and it'll be a great honour to be there as part of it on Saturday. Go on.
I was just going to say, has she eclipsed Black Caviar for you? I mean, you did write the Black Caviar book.
Yeah. No,
I'm waiting for the Winx book. I haven't seen it.
I find that really hard to answer, other than her CV is clearly, her achievements are clearly superior to Black Caviar's, just with the odd moment here or there. But Black Caviar's got unbeaten, one at Royal Ascot, so she'll always have a special place in my heart. But yeah, as Winx is... Winx is in the conversation with Farlap, isn't she, as to which way you want to go.
Yeah.
And we never imagined that we'd get a horse that you could have that conversation about.
No, it's, you think of the consistency of it. I mean, race horses, you know, they can't speak. They can't say, I'm a bit off today. I probably need to lie down, can they? And yet Chris Waller delivered it in pristine condition. There's never been a race where you thought, oh, she was a bit disappointed. No.
Yep.
Just every day she's at performance peak pitch. It's extraordinary.
Crash, have a great week. Look forward to dissecting it all with you again next Monday.
Can't wait, Jared. See you then. Bye.
Robert Craddock with a look towards all that lies in store this week in sport. And on Saturday, 1377 SEN Plus will be rebranded 1377 Winx Plus, a full-day takeover, day two from the championships, culminating in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes and what's expected to be the last appearance of Winx on an Australian racetrack. I'll be there with David Gately. It'll be really something. Shoot through your messages, 0433 98 11 16. Got a bunch to go through. Take a couple of calls as well, and we'll check in shortly with the Australian Swimming Championships, which began last night, and Kate Campbell was awesome in the 100 metres freestyle.